Well, good morning, everyone. Like everyone said, my name is Diana. I'm an associate pastor here at 99. And like many people said, just want to wish everyone a happy Pride Month. I don't think the sermon will be as much fun as all the Pride parades happening, but hopefully you get a little Holy Spirit fill and then go out and enjoy the rest of your weekend after the video series that we're going to have. Over the past few weeks, we have been in a series called Source Material, where we've been diving deep into all things scripture related. In week one, we talked about what is the posture that we bring to scripture and how can we approach scripture humbly. In week two, we talked about how the Bible was written for us, but not to us, in the sense that it was written to specific people in a specific context, and it still has application in our life today, but we need to be careful about how we read it. And in week three, last week, we talked about how scripture is both divinely inspired and written by humans, and how those two things can coexist and are both important to understand when it comes to our formation. Now, I know people are in all stages of their faith as well, so if you're wondering whether God is real, whether we can trust the Bible at all, we would love to keep diving into those topics with you anytime. But for today, we're going to dig really specifically into the authority of Scripture on each of our lives. I'm sure when I first brought up the authority, some of you might have shifted in your seat a little bit. As a quick note aside, everyone's heard of the Holy Trinity, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. If you've been around church for a while, you might have heard that sometimes it gets joked that it's a Father, Son, and Holy Scripture, which is when Scripture gets elevated so highly that there's no room for the Holy Spirit. So I kid you not, I thought about titling this sermon Holy S. Like, be like, is it Scripture, is it Spirit? But then I realized people would not think of, they'd be thinking of a totally different word, and Mickey would never invite me back. But I think Mickey would low-key like it. But that's what we're going to get talked to. We're going to talk about the holiness of Scripture and the holiness of the Spirit together. So the question I want to wrestle with today is, how would our relationship with God change if we started to have a healthier relationship to the authority of Scripture? And the idea I want to put before you is, how would we change if we started to see Scripture as having authority more like a doctor than a dictator? So we're going to pack this in three parts. We're going to first explore for a little bit what Scripture says about its own authority. Then we're going to pinpoint specific ways that our modern culture unhelpfully or unhealthily frames what authority means for Scripture. And then finally, we're going to talk about a better way to relate to the authority of Scripture altogether. And that's to make the Holy Scriptures completely inseparable from the interaction with the Holy Spirit. So first, let's just spend a few minutes recapping what does Scripture say about its own authority. There's a lot we could say, but I just want to talk about three quick points. So first, Scripture is so clear, it speaks with God's own authority. Scripture does not present itself as one voice of many collections or helpful suggestions. It carries the weight of God's own voice. And Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, and righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Second, it is powerful and complete. When God speaks, his word does not come back empty. It accomplishes what God set out to do. This is not like a cold or static or weak power. There's a purpose when it was spoken that goes out and is accomplished. In Isaiah 55:11, it says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And finally, it is alive. Scripture describes itself not as a dead record, a history book that is outdated that you might pick up just for fun. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now, a lot of those three points we actually just unpacked in the prior 3 weeks, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but Scripture is clear that it has authority, that it has a purpose and objective that it is trying to achieve, and that's still relevant for our lives today. But what I want to do is spend the majority of our time today on where authority goes wrong in our concepts in modern, or today's culture. And I know there are a lot of feelings around authority based on the liveliness of the conversation we just had. And it's no secret that most people do not jump for joy at the idea of being under it, which is ironic coming from a founder myself. I'm like, haha, own boss. And in a week, we're about to celebrate the 4th of July, which is 250 years since our founding fathers bucked the royal authority. And it's like, we're going to do our own country. as a side note, I'm from Florida. You guys know that. I got a sunburn yesterday and I was so happy. I was like, it's finally sunny and warm enough. It's summer. We're going to have a great summer season. Shows how cloudy and rainy it normally is here in the summer. But so we're used to bucking authority. We're used to having tense, fragmented relationships with authority. And I bet everyone in this room in some form or fashion has seen an imperfect version of authority. Maybe you've had a boss who didn't care about you, who used you, or broke a promise to you. Maybe you've had a parent who is either over-controlling or failed to support you. Maybe you've been burned or rejected by religious leaders who rejected you. Maybe you've been subject to systemic injustice baked into the authority of the law that we have in the U.S. And there's so many other ways you probably have had or experienced the brokenness of authority. And I will say, if there's anyone in this room who has only had amazing experiences with authority, I truly bless you, and I pray I am not the person who breaks that streak for you. But regardless of our individual experience, each of us carries some incomplete or imperfect picture of what authority is. So I'm going to focus on two dimensions in particular, which combined make up a founder's favorite thing, a 2x2 chart. And yeah, this is not a competition slide, but it is a great framework that we will go through together. So there are two dimensions we'll explore. First is going to be the horizontal axis, so left to right, how personal authority is, from a one-size-fit-all from the left to a fully tailored each on their own to the right. And then there's a vertical axis, top to bottom, how forced is authority? So from must obey or else at the top to only a suggestion at the bottom. And in any given stream, each of these limits our ability to have a true, abundant relationship with God. And as we walk through what each of these looks like and what happens when we take it to an extreme, when we apply it to the authority of Scripture, I'm actually going to compare it to the authority figure that's easier for us to relate to, which is a doctor. So let's take a look at each in turn. So in the top left corner, we have the dictator. This is all fours, obey at all costs, but it's completely impersonal. It's one size fit all, full command. And you can kind of picture the vibe of this is like their orders just barked at everyone. So imagine if there is a doctor who is really smart, really well researched, but never took an appointment with you and literally just published nationwide requirement. You'd be like, okay, I know you're smart, but what about me? What about what's happening in my life? Does this actually apply to everybody across the country? That's a pretty bold claim. And the risk when we drift towards this way of approaching the authority of Scripture is a risk that we become judgmental and we become legalistic. This is where Scripture can be easily weaponized and treated with more hate than love. And what I want to call out for each of these, actually, is when Scripture has a response to it. So in response to this approach of Scripture as a dictator in our life, we see that God deals with each of us very personally. So Romans 14, 4 through 5, or 14, yeah, 4 through 5, it says, "Who are you to judge someone else's servant? One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind." So in Scripture, you see room for nuance, room for people to interact with how they worship God differently. But you also see the personalization in Scripture. Psalm 139 says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar." So I'm going to guess, not everyone's super excited about the idea of the dictator feeling of Scripture. But let's talk about what happens when you move to the top right corner. So this is what we call the controller. Now, this one's a little tricky because it almost is tempted to seem right. So imagine someone knows everything about you, but they use it to command every move. You'd be a robot. And the problem isn't a lack of knowledge or authority. It's that your agency disappears. So when you think about the doctor analogy, imagine your doctor could track everything about you, like your Oura Ring, like every smart device that you have. And so you get a one-on-one appointment. There's some personalization to it. But you walk in and you don't get to say a thing. All of a sudden, they just start telling you exactly what you're going to do. You have no choice on what medicines or procedures you get, what the consequences are. And you are monitored on how closely you comply. Doesn't sound fun, right? And the risk, if we start to fall into this approach towards scripture, where yes, it's very personal, but we have no interaction, no agency with God, is we start to adopt a slave mentality. Helpless, acting out of compulsion, even growing bitter or resentful. So we read words in scripture like love and joy, but they mean nothing to us because we think that we are just forced. And what I want to call out is the idea that, like, well, it's easy to think because scripture has authority that there's no room to wrestle. There's no room to ponder. There's no room to question. This is where this culture of, like, accept it and keep your mouth shut can start to creep into churches. But God shows us in scripture that he invites us to have a personal dialogue with him. In Genesis 32, we even see Jacob wrestling with God. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." So here, even in scripture, and honestly throughout a lot of the Psalms, we see a deep wrestling with God, an engagement, a pleading with God. So we see this engagement and this dialogue with God. Now if we move to the bottom right corner, so this is where it's like fully personal, but we start to lose the weight, the gravitas. And the authority of scripture actually seems to seem more like suggestions. So this is, if you imagine, there's a doctor where someone knows you well, but they never tell you anything hard. It's kind of like the whatever feels right vibe. And it feels good in the moment. And that's the danger of this one. But it can't heal you. So imagine you went to a doctor, and you show up. You still get your one-on-one appointment. It's more personal. And they're just like, they just look at you, and they're like, "So, like, what do you think?" And he'd be like, "You're the doctor." Like, you know, you start to ask him questions and be like, "Oh, well, I just don't know. It's whatever, you know, whatever feels good, you know?" And after a while, you'd walk out and, yeah, like, it was affirming. It was, you know, positive from a sense of, like, kindness in the moment. But you'd walk out and be like, "I could have just sat at home and looked in a mirror and, like, I've gotten the same result, right?" And what seems like kindness is actually preventing you from a true authority that invites you to grow, that challenges, that tells you the hard truths that are important for you to get better, right? And the risk that when we treat scripture as personal, but not having true weight and true truths to lean into, is twofold. Is that we can start to affirm our instincts, we lean into confirmation bias, quietly skipping over the things we don't like, and cherry-picking scripture instead of being truly formed by it. And scripture calls out a few really great points on this. In James 1, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so to deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." So here in James, it's imploring us to look at scripture as something that is meant to reflect a true light onto who we are and to inspire us to change, to grow. And it might not feel comfortable in the moment, but it's so much better for our good in the long term. And actually, just as a fun way to see the way that the cherry picking can be extremely dangerous too. Actually, before I get to that, I want to mention John 10:10 is also an incredible verse. It says, "A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and life to the full." And that's just the importance of authority to bring out true life that might not feel comfortable in the moment, but is good for our long-term being. So just to quickly show how cherry picking scripture can often not only not work, but be dangerous. These are literally two verses side by side. So imagine if you're sitting there saying like, "Man, maybe I should, like, you know, I'm engaging with a fool." I don't know who talks like that of like, "I'm engaging with a fool," but we've all felt it. And so you're like, "What do I do?" So you open to Proverbs 26:4 and it says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly or you yourself will be just like him." You're like, "All right, that's what I want. That's my answer. I don't have to engage." But then literally the verse after says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes." So you can see that cherry picking scripture and coming to it without a sense that there is some ultimate truth that we should be leaning into can lead to a lot of wishy-washy feelings. It's like it loses the strength because we try to make it fit into what we want to hear. And then finally, we have what's called the fortune cookie, which is the most fun sounding one. This is the bottom left corner. This is where there's only the suggestion. There's no real authority. There's no weight. There's no ultimate truth to lean on. It's not personal. It's one size fits all. And there's no, so this is literally like, I want you to actually picture the fortune cookie where we kind of view scripture as like a few great like vibes that everyone kind of opens up and leans into. And again, on the surface, it might be appealing because scripture, it has a lot of great truths to it that's beautiful, to love each other, to want to see healing and restoration. But it's so much more than that. And I hope, no judgment, that many people are not opening a fortune cookie and making significant life decisions based on that. Although we did actually use a fortune cookie right before we quit our jobs. But it said today was the day to take a risk and you should have quit the next day. Yeah, but in all seriousness, I hope you know that was not how we actually made the decision. But imagine when it comes to the doctor analogy, just to keep going on that, imagine you're like, you found this doctor, and then you later find out that it's not really a doctor, quote, I'm putting quotes up for a reason, but who you're really listening to is just like an online health enthusiast who's a novice, no clinical experience, no medical training, no education when it comes to health, no experience treating people. And it's just literally like behind their computer, just like writing little blogs and just kind of sending them out there, right? You could take it or leave it, but that's pretty disorienting to base your life off of, right? I don't know why you would trust it. And the risk that Christians face when we start to look at scripture more in this fortune cookie is that we're not deep down sure if we can actually trust it. And so we may pay lip service to it, but it really weakens our conviction to take action. And this is where there might be platitudes where you're like, oh, I know we should do this, but like, I don't know, you know. Or you just see a lot of people saying one thing, doing something totally different. And it weakens our ability to be actual lights in this world. It just becomes one of hundreds of voices that we hear in society, and it doesn't lead to true flourishing of our world because it's not based in truths, and it doesn't have the specificity to apply to different contexts. So we just like don't know what to do with it. So we like feel good for a minute and then just kind of leave it by the side. Jesus really calls out actually the importance of scripture as a firm foundation. So instead of this vague, like wishy-washy fortune cookie feeling, this is how scripture gets described in Luke 6. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, they are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. So Jesus is clear, the scripture is being put forward as a foundation, a firm foundation that is trustworthy to be built upon. So as we look at all of these, I'm guessing most of these, none of these have felt great. I mean, kudos to you if you like any of these doctors, but I feel like most of us would say these are not the kinds of doctors or experiences that we would want to have when it comes to something as important as our health and well-being. And when we have a broken view of the authority of Scripture, we're tempted to either broadly lean towards one of these corners and how we treat Scripture altogether, but we can even do this with specific tenets with our faith. So maybe sometimes we decide we want to be more of the dictator on a topic of like, here's how God says to treat my spouse. But then with money, you know, that's just a nice suggestion. I don't know about that, right? So we can easily pick and choose or treat this as scripture altogether, all of which fall short with the ultimate purpose of the beauty of authority that God has given us in scripture. So I want to paint a picture for just a second on what a truly excellent doctor would do. An excellent doctor would never get to a level of specificity without fully understanding your context. They won't operate in isolation, not knowing what's happening in your life. They wouldn't make commandments on what you should do in your health without sitting down and talking with you and seeing what's going on. But yet, they're pulling from science. They're pulling from experience. They're pulling from truths that they can rely on, which still apply to you. So that combination of real authority, deeply personal, but exercised with your cooperation and for the broader good, is the kind of authority that I feel like we all would long for, the type of authority that we would be thankful to have. And here's a real secret. So you're like, okay, Diana, I'm bought in. We don't like these extremes. I think I'm getting the gist of it. What does that mean? What does scripture actually look like in true, healthy authority? And the secret is that not that we have to get it right, and we have to figure out the exact right balance in between each of these extremes to nail that little like center target. That would actually just become another performance-based religion. But there's a better way that scripture puts forward, and it's actually all through scripture. It's leading with discernment. It's being led by the Holy Spirit. And we even see this in 2 Peter 1. This is verse 19 through 21. We also have a prophetic message as something completely reliable, as you will do well to pay attention to it. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy had never had its origin in the human will, and here's the part to pay attention to, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So already in Scripture, we see this inextricable link between the holiness of Scripture, the authority of Scripture, and how interlinked it is to the Holy Spirit. And I think, just to take a step back, a lot of times when we think about authority and we think about Scripture, we forget that it's this dialogue with the living God and the Holy Spirit with us. So when you think about how God would interact with us in this way, it's not the dictator, it's not a fortune cookie, it's the authority and intimacy together. And that's how God even describes himself in Scripture. In Isaiah 9:6, it says, "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So what does this look like? We're going to talk about three steps. I'm really going to lean into one of the third. You might be like, okay, got it. Holy Spirit, come with me with the Scriptures. But what does that really look like? So the three principles we'll talk about. First is just to ask. When you open your Scripture, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Second is to seek wise counsel among theologians, among community, people who have walked with the Holy Spirit for a long time and are speaking to how Scripture is applied. The third one is the one I actually want to spend a few minutes talking through. And it's on discernment, testing the ways that the Holy Spirit is guiding you very specifically. So one of the richest frameworks to come to the Scripture and say, how do I hold Scripture to authority and yet walk in discernment with the Holy Spirit, is shaped by someone named St. Ignatius of Loyola, which is a Catholic priest who wrote a really great framework on discernment over 470 years ago that is still very helpful today. And some of you may have heard one of his most famous lines, which is that sin is an unwillingness to trust that God, what God wants for me is my deepest happiness. So when it comes to being Spirit-led, we need to continue to reevaluate how is God and how is the Holy Spirit moving in us so that when we approach Scripture, when we are bringing Scripture into our lives, it's this constant dialogue, this constant interaction. And there are two principles that St. Ignatius talks about with discernment: consolation and desolation. Consolation are movements, desires, and senses that bring us towards God, moments when we feel that sense of faith, of hope, of love. And desolation, moments that pull us away from God, towards despair, isolation, or distrust. Learning to name these is how we keep our dialogue with God honest. We allow room for God to speak to us and correct us, but it's not absent of our human emotions and our experiences. And this comes from 1 John 4:1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. So why does this matter? And it might seem obvious, but I just want to spend a few minutes talking about just internalizing the importance of this. I don't know about you, but I feel like a lot of times I'd be like, man, I just wish Jesus was here in the person. You know, like it would just be so much easier if we could sit down over coffee. I could ask him questions. I could just like help clarify a few things. And yet that's completely overlooking what Jesus said himself, which is that in John 16, he says it's actually better that we have the Holy Spirit with us. He says, "But very truly, I tell you, it is good for you that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to us." And this really matters because without Scripture combined with the Holy Spirit, we lead to a lot of the fragmented things that we see today with authority. Regardless of what people wish, life is really not black or white. Life is full of moments of consolation and desolation. So if we lean too far into legalism, our faith will feel fragile when it starts to come into question, or we start to exclude for no reason. Though life will continue to be nuanced and complex, no matter how much we crave the simple answer, billions of people are alive today, living in radically different countries, contexts, cultures, not to mention the people who've lived for the 2,000 years since Jesus walked this earth. So if we believe that Scripture has authority and is alive and active today, we have to leave room for the Holy Spirit to intercede on our behalf. And we thank God that we not only have the Scriptures to read, but it's not even on our own shoulders to get it right, to study hard enough, to figure it out, to study the root Greek or Hebrew words, to make sure we can debate the exact meaning of things. And without the Holy Spirit, we become a more legalistic, just another church that says, these are the rules, tough. And finally, just as we start to think about closing today, I cannot emphasize enough just how much our world is in desperate need of a new vision of authority combined with radical love. I feel like so often we're used to authority failing us, disappointing us, telling us we're wrong and we're not good enough, causing division and rejection, causing hurt and pain. And yet, sometimes when we try to love without authority, we don't leave people any better off. We don't give them truth. We don't give them a grounding. We don't give them anything to stand on that's different than something else that's like a timely, you know, like catchy thing in the news. And so we are unwilling to be true lights in this world that experience both the radical love and authority of Jesus. And especially now, being an affirming church here, it is so important to say Scripture matters and we stand on this truth. And it is the most beautiful love that we can come out of it because we're being led by the Spirit. It's messy, it's beautiful, it's broken. But without bringing our human experience to Scripture, it will come back void. So my challenge to you, even though this is primarily, again, on the authority of Scripture, is to learn to lean into Scripture with the power of the Holy Spirit, which also includes getting to know yourself and how Scripture is in constant dialogue with you. So this week, identify one thing that you're wrestling with. Be honest. You don't have to pick the churchy answer where you feel like it's the right thing to be wrestling with. Just be honest. Like, what's weighing on you? What are you mad about? What are you frustrated about? What are you uncertain or fearful about? What are you curious about? Ask the Holy Spirit. When you go to Scripture, ask the Holy Spirit to be interceding on your behalf. There's a great practice called Lectio Divina, where you invite the Holy Spirit to be with you as you read Scripture. Seek guidance and counsel. There's so many people who studied the Scriptures, which are so nuanced, so rich, so beautiful. So don't just go for the short, easy answer. Spend time studying from others, seeking wise counsel as you're trying to digest, what does this authority mean in my life today? Seek wise counsel in that. And discern. Learn to notice the daily ways, the daily moments that God is highlighting to you. When do you feel closer to love? When do you feel farther from love? And it might not seem like it moves mountains in the moment, but over time, you will slowly start to see Scripture as authority because it is the living word, because the Holy Spirit is constantly reaching out to you and interacting with you too. And when we make room to be Spirit-led people, I believe the city of San Francisco and beyond will see that it is authority beyond measure, not because it's in fear, but because it's in true, powerful love. So with that, I just want to spend a few minutes praying. And then we will get to the really fun part of today, which is all the socializing and hanging out and eating great food together. But just join me in a few minutes. If you guys know me, I do like to pray a lot. So I promise I'll try to not make it too long. But I just really want to invite you to ask the Holy Spirit to give you a renewed fire for the authority of Scripture that is only based in love, that's not based in fear. So pray with me. Dear God, we just come before you so humble and thankful. You are a perfect, loving Father. I just want to take a few minutes to let you speak to each of us personally as I pray over a few of the themes that we talked about today. God, first, I just want you to open us up to the fact that you have the perfect authority, not one that tries to control us, not one that tries to force our way, but it's an invitation. You give us truths that we can build our life upon, and yet you invite us to experience and see how good your ways are. You have authority not because you force it, but because your ways are better. You know every single person on this planet, and yet you know each of us personally. And as I'm praying, I just am reminded, Lord, that we can't even comprehend just how vast and large and high and deep and wide your love is. It's incomprehensible in some ways to us that you have perfect authority, that you created us, that you could actually, if you wanted to, make us do anything. And yet you are the God who invites us. You don't force us, but you show us the way. You showed us a way in Jesus. You showed us a better way. And yet you have truths for us. You are not a passive God. You are not a God that is weak. You're not a God that just like is unwilling to step in to say, I have something better for you. And it might not make us feel comfortable in the moment, but you do call us higher. I pray, Holy Spirit, would you just intercede on our behalf? Would you just be constantly speaking to us in and through Scripture? Would you be showing us truths that we can base our life upon, the firm foundation that we can base our life upon, and yet let it be so personal that it cuts to our heart. It cuts to the core. And I want you to just heal us. Heal us of any fragmented, broken, disoriented picture we have of your authority, because your love casts out all fear. There is no shame, no condemnation for those who are in you, Jesus. So teach us the type of authority that you have where we are just overjoyed that we say, thank you, God, that you haven't left us on our own. You have given us a way, and yet you just walk patiently, graciously with us. Our world is too used to authority that is harsh, authority that is disappointing, authority that makes us want to turn away or hide or rebel. Show us the kind of authority that you have that is just freedom, that is peace, that is joy that surpasses all understanding. And finally, Holy Spirit, would you just wake us up daily to the ways that you are constantly interacting with us, constantly beckoning us back towards you, constantly letting your Scripture come to life in us, in our lives, exactly where we are. Give us that hunger to say, we want more of your Scripture, not because it's this rule book, not because it's something that I feel forced to, but because when I open your word, when I get with you, when I understand who you are, Lord, you put all things right. You are the home that we are longing for. Every sense of pain that our community has faced is made right in your perfect love. Holy Spirit, would you just meet us? That's all we have to do, is say, come meet us exactly where we are and wake us up. there's so much more. There is so much more to Scripture when we make room for you to encounter us. Give us that daily awareness of just how great you are. We love you, Lord. We thank you. And I just pray that you would just be with us, be with our people, so we can continue to go forth and heal this world and help make things right. To, like Grace said, let this be a Batman symbol that there is a higher way, there is a better way. Pray all this in Jesus' powerful name that can save, that can heal, that can make things come back to life. In your name we pray. Amen.